All right, we're doing Hashkafa. Question is being raised that according to our idea of Judaism, the Torah, the mitzvot is the most perfect system to live by, and the mitzvot and so on and so forth. So why is it only for the Jewish people? What about the rest of the world? Don't we care? Doesn't Hashem care, etc.? Well, why? What is the sense that this should be given to one people, and not just one people, it's a very tiny fraction of the human race, so to speak. The way I understand it, this answer, so to speak, is that the Torah is really intended for all of mankind. Interestingly enough, I mean, certainly if you could see that the rest of the world, in a certain sense, has acknowledged the divinity of the Torah, because even though they're not completely consistent along, but the idea that the Torah is unique, that the Torah is from Hashem, is something which the two other quote-unquote major religions accept, Islam and Christianity. We're talking about billions of people in the world accept that. Now, does that mean they're keeping the Torah? They're not keeping the Torah? They're not keeping the Torah. But to a certain extent, they do acknowledge, in whatever, however distorted it is, there's some type of an influence. The intention, and this is a very significant point that we have to take into consideration. You see to what extent the attitude of the nations plays a role in the Torah. It's not that we're indifferent to what others think. That's a very big mistake that many from people make, that like living in their own world and whatever, they kind of act as though everybody else doesn't exist or doesn't have any real significance. As long as they're not persecuting us. But other than that, there's no true, there are many religious people that have this attitude. That we have to take care of ourselves and the Jews are the only people are important. People have that attitude. If you take a look at the Torah, however, you see that's not the attitude of the Torah. For example, in the case of Moshe Rabbeinu, by the Chet HaEgel, by the sin of the golden calf, and when God said he was going to destroy the Jewish people, and Moshe Rabbeinu had to come up with the appropriate type of defense, so to speak, you can't talk God out of something, but lo yitzu, so to speak. So Moshe's argument was, what will the Egyptians say? Lama Yom HaMitzrayim. That is to say, he was concerned, how will this appear towards the other nation? And Mitzrayim is just one nation. It means, how will it look? Which is an astounding thing. That is to say, that God cares apparently so much about world opinion, that the people will misinterpret it. They won't say, if the people would say, well, the Jews were sinned, and God punished them, and everything that happened was just, and it would not affect their relationship to Hashem, then Moshe wouldn't have an argument. But people would not interpret it that way, and people would say that it's a weakness of God that God couldn't do. God couldn't bring them into the promised land, so he destroyed them. That's what they would say. However wrong, however distorted. And thus, his argument was that if you do this, it will destroy people. People will be lost in terms of recognition of Hashem. So, you see that what people think about Hashem is part of the mission of the Jewish people. That idea is encountered in the Torah. Unfortunately, Jews today don't seem to care. That's something which is very bothersome to me. It's mentioned in Devarim about that when Moshe exhorts the Jews to keep the Torah, that Ushmartem vasisem osam, you shall guard them and keep them, ki hichach maschem uvinaschem li'enei ha'amim. That it's Torah has to be taught and understood as a chachma. That in the eyes of the nations who will hear, as they become exposed to Torah and they hear it, they'll say, "Am chacham v'navon hagoya gadol hazeh." What a wise and discerning nation! So if the Jewish people turn their backs on wisdom and become like everybody else and very primitive, just a primitive religious kind of thing, which doesn't reflect great wisdom. No. That is, if the Jewish people, even if they're sincere and they have their customs and so on and so forth, but if it's practiced in such a manner that the wisdom, the deep wisdom of Torah and the Jewish scholars is really distorted, and people would observe it, and it wouldn't be clear why are you doing this, why are you doing that, and it would be very superficial. So we're not fulfilling that. Commandment. That is to say, it's our responsibility not to practice Judaism, not just for ourselves. Of course, first and foremost for ourselves, obviously. But it should be done on the highest level to sanctify God. Sanctification of Hashem. That is the instrument. The Jewish people are really the instrument to make known to mankind that God cares about the entire world. All of mankind should live according to Torah. When I say all of mankind should live according to Torah, however, it doesn't mean that all of mankind must convert to Judaism. I would use the term that there's two different kinds of, if you want to call it Judaism, whatever term you want for it. That is to say that the basic ideals of Torah, the fundamental ideals of human existence, how people find favor with Hashem, how Hashem wants mankind to live, that is the complete obliteration of idolatry and the recognition of the Creator. And the fundamentals of what constitutes human perfection, that's for all of man. The Torah's view. The Torah way, if you want to talk about a Torah way of life, separated from the performance of all the particular mitzvahs, which I think we can conceive of that, to go back to the Avos. I know there's many Chazal that say that the Avos kept all the mitzvahs and so on and so forth, but there's other views that say that they did not. It's a very tough position to maintain that they kept so many of the mitzvahs having to do with the events that occurred later on. Clearly the Rambam, take a look at the Rambam, he says that there was a progression. That it all starts with the seven mitzvahs. Then Avraham, there was a milah, circumcision, God commanded circumcision. Some of the mitzvahs were revealed. But it was completed at the time of Sinai. So when Avraham went out to people and tried to teach them and so forth, he wasn't teaching them Tariag mitzvahs. He was teaching them about Hashem and the fundamentals of what constitutes chesed and what a person should pursue in life, what the good really is, ideas about sanctification, ideas about the way a person should look at materialism, ideas of justice. These are the fundamental truths of Torah. So that's for all mankind. And thus you have the phenomenon of the Noahide. That is, that the Gentile is supposed to recognize Torah. The foundation of Sinai is for all mankind. They're supposed to recognize Torah, the written, but not just the written Torah, because without the oral interpretation, you can come to any conclusion you want. All the different sects, everybody can point to Scripture. Scripture, so to quote unquote, is written in such a way that it lends itself whatever. You could project any meaning onto it. I mean, Jews do the same thing. You have Orthodox, Conservative, Reform. Anybody can project. It's got to be in accordance with the Torah Baal Peh, with the oral law. And the Noahide who accepts, that's why the Rambam makes that point very clear, that if someone just keeps the seven Noahide laws, doesn't violate them, not because he believes that Hashem commanded him to do so in the Torah, that's not considered to be a righteous Gentile. He has to accept the authority of Torah. And once he does so, so then he partakes of the benefits of Torah. But he's not bound by the 613 commandments. So he has to affirm the existence of Hashem. Even Shabbos. I know Noahides that observe Shabbos, but a Noahide is prohibited. It means one aspect of Shabbos, the seventh day, the seventh day, and it reaffirms the whole idea of creation, that the world didn't come into existence by accident, that the world has a creator, and it came into completion on the seventh day, and therefore they acknowledge the seventh day and use it as a special time to elevate themselves. The Noahides observed that too. But they put on the lights. It said all the halachic dimensions, that's something which is given over to the Jewish people. So it even seems to me that even in the Yemos HaMashiach, where that's the whole ultimate goal, destiny of history of mankind, is to reach a state of perfection, and that will be when people will recognize that this is the truth, and they will be drawn to the Jewish people, to be taught the truth, but I don't think they'll all convert. Because God doesn't demand that from all of mankind. That is a difficult mission, it's a difficult task. And, I mean, today, the whole idea of conversion has become watered down, as you know. You know, people convert for the wrong reasons, and Judaism discourages people. It's a big problem. There's been a big breakdown in the whole system of conversion, because today, it's been, most of the time, it's initiated by because people want to get married, man, you know, you met someone, that kind of thing, which is really wrong. Ideally, conversion is only when a person is interested in Judaism, for the sake of Judaism, and wants to be part of the Jewish people. But in Yemos HaMashiach, there's no one that, my opinion is that not all of mankind will convert. Some will, some won't, because it's a, you have to accept Tariag Mitzvot. So it's a certain level of existence. It's a very high level of existence with a lot of what most people would call burdens and restrictions. And the person should ask himself the question, is he prepared to accept that upon himself? That's a high level. A Noachide has much more leeway. Now, from a philosophical standpoint, he can gain the philosophical benefits. He can study the Torah in terms of the ideas, in terms of the Hashkafa, in terms of Mishle, in terms of all of the ethical, moral ideals, and the what we call the Derech HaChaim, the way of life of Judaism. That's for everybody. That's not a secret. But there's still a particular system of Judaism with Tariag Mitzvos, which is a very exalted level, and God gave it to the Jews, so it should exist. It should exist be perpetuated for the Jewish people. And whoever's heart motivates him, he wants to elevate himself and live according to the system, he can go through conversion. We have converts. But that's not something which God demands of all people. It seems to me, however, therefore, we should be very, very concerned, especially in this day and age, in America, because America is a great blessing. It's another thing that the Jews should appreciate, the blessing of America. You have to study Jewish history. I'm sorry? No, Jews should have an attitude of Hakaras HaTov, appreciation, because of all the persecution. But there's an opportunity. And also there's a concern that now that we live in this society, and it's an open society, and everybody observes, today, there's anything anybody does. It's out there on the internet and so on. Any type of a disgrace that a Jew is involved in creates a tremendous Chil Hashem. That's the worst Avera, Chil Hashem. For Goyim. Not just for Jews, for Goyim. Because of this point that the Goyim will say, this is the way Jews act. It'll disparage Judaism. And the whole purpose is that people should admire Judaism. It's extremely important. I tell this to people all the time. I'll repeat it again. It doesn't hurt to mention it again, to overemphasize this point, that people like ourselves that are identifiable as Jews, have an extra obligation above and beyond in all your doings when you go on the plane, the train, when you're driving a car. Even if you think someone cut you off, but the way you respond, you got to think, even if it would be if a guy did it, wouldn't be so terrible. But for you, you're going people. That's how a Jew acts. Person loses his temper, he screams, whatever it is, or in a store, whatever. He cuts a line. All these things will cause people to frown. Where's the ethical, moral level? I thought these people are living according to a higher level. And you say, well, why should I be judged according to a? Yeah, you have to because you're wearing a yarmulke. You're making a statement. You're making a statement that you're Jewish, you keep the Torah, so then you have an obligation to behave in a manner which would bring about praise, if you can. It's a tremendous mitzvah. Kiddush Hashem. Someone is in need, in a store, whatever, you help out within reason, obviously. You give your place on the line, you help a person, whatever it is, and people say, oh, well, he's a religious person, he keeps that's good. You're being a salesman, so to speak. And contrarily, to avoid doing anything which would people would frown upon. That's terrible, BS, disgusting, because they're going to want to associate that with Judaism. See, if you're in a situation, it's just you, no one knows you're Jewish, and you're wearing a cap, and there's no way, let's assume. So then you're disgracing yourself, whatever it is, you're not disgracing Judaism. But when you're in a situation, it's very, very important. You have a lot of these, on Shabbos too, sometimes people don't even stop and think. The Jews will like they're coming home from shul, they'll walk in the streets, they'll take over, and there are other people that aren't keeping Shabbos that are driving. You know, and sometimes we sort of feel like it's we own the place. It's not a good thing. One should always be courteous and think about the other person. Because you don't want to create a bad impression, get people upset at you when you're wearing a yarmulke. God did not give the Torah over to mankind, because mankind is not on the level to keep the Taryag Mitzvot. Nor is it the divine will that people should keep the Taryag Mitzvot. It's not for everybody. It's for, interestingly enough, in a certain manner of speaking, it's not going to sound right to the religious individual, but in a certain manner of speaking, the rest of the world has choice with regard to these things, assuming that they're introduced to Torah in a positive way, and then they recognize that the Torah is divine, and that there is a system, Sheva Mitzvot, they have to keep the seven Noahide laws, and they can elevate themselves and take upon themselves more and more as it fits them, their level that they're at. They can partake of all the knowledge and the wisdom of Torah without having to not be able to drive on Shabbos, and they can go to McDonald's, and they can eat chametz on Pesach. They can have all those things. Have your cake and eat it too. So you can, and they can decide. They don't have to. They can choose. As opposed to a Jew. You're born Jewish, you're part of the covenant and people, and you must keep the system. You must keep the system. So it's not the will of Hashem that all of mankind needs to keep Taryag Mitzvot. And they who are righteous Gentiles and keep the seven Mitzvot, they have a chelik in the Olam Haba. They have a share in the world to come. And they can have a very huge share in the world to come, depending on their level of perfection. And the same is true for Jews, depending on their level of perfection. There's no concept of a racial superiority in Bechiras Am Yisrael, in the choosing of the Jewish people. It's one of the most misunderstood ideas. We should be cognizant of the bigger world. We should be cognizant of non-Jews. And Jews should act in an attitude of respect and friendship and embracing people. The Torah teaches us we can't be oppressive or unjust, or all the things that are prohibited to do to anyone. V'racham aval kol ma'asav. His mercies are upon all of his creations. Unfortunately, there's not enough emphasis on this type of an approach in the Jewish world today. It seems to me it's very, very like myopic in the sense that we're better, we're different, we're superior, something along those lines. That's my sense of it. I mean, not everybody, but in certain circles. A Gentile can take on other mitzvot, perform them, not because it's part of a system. Once you begin to break down the categories, it's going to cause tremendous confusion, and you'll have different kinds of cults and groups. There's two systems. There's the seven Noachai, but if he sees the significance of a particular mitzvah, and he sees a benefit, and he wants to do it on a voluntary basis, to get schar, to get reward, he could do so. But not because he's saying there's another system now. It's there's such a thing as the Jewish nation. If a person reaches the point where he wants to be part of that nation because he identifies with the mission of this, we have a particular mission. Not everybody has this mission. And there's reasons why God chose us. God chose us essentially, according to the Torah, because of the Avos. Because they were the ones who made this discovery, and their lifestyle was such that it found favor, and it made sense that from their descendants, they would carry on the name and the image, so to speak, of the Avos. So then that's this people. This people has a mission in history to bring about the ultimate recognition that all of mankind will recognize these ideas. But all of mankind, that's not their mission. So, the once that's the case, the lines have to be drawn. If a person is not Jewish, he can't start pretending and doing all the things that a Jew does, and he's not Jewish. That's going to cause tremendous confusion. You can't break down the barriers. You can't break down the systems. That's the way it works. But I'm trying to point out that a Noachai can reach very, very high level of perfection. Ideally, a Jew should be thankful that he should thank Hashem that he's part of the Jewish people. Look at all the opportunities. You're in the arena. The non-Jew has a more difficult pathway. He's not in the arena, and for him to discover the Torah and what God wants from him is not so simple. But you were raised with the system So according to you, once that's the case, you're part of the people. You can't break away. That's the tremendous aveira, tremendous sin, and you're not given a particular choice how you want to live your life. That's otherwise there'd be no covenant. It's akin to sort of like people have this notion of raising their child without any religious principles whatsoever, without Judaism. And when he gets older, then you'll start teaching him about the different religions, let him choose. That's, you can't perpetuate a system that way. If the system, in your opinion, is absolutely true and one should educate, and then you have to do so from youth. Of course, the education should be done in such a manner that the mind is open. It's not that you're force-feeding it. That's not education. I don't mean that you should propaganda to substitute indoctrination as opposed to opening up the mind. But there's got to be instruction. You're giving up the whole benefit of everything that's been achieved. The rest of the world has choice, not with regard to the seven Noahide laws. A Gentile is obligated. And today we don't have power. But in a time when we would have power, in the days of the Mashiach, he would be coerced. Would have to accept those are the basic terms of existence. Would not have a right to exist as a human being on this earth without accepting Hashem, renouncing idolatry, and the seven Noahid laws. And then indeed, that's a Ger Toshav, then he could live with us in Israel, and would have the benefits of living in the society and so forth. But that choice he has. That choice he doesn't have. That's the command. That's Torah. Torah commands him to do that. Beyond that, however, what level he wants to live at, if he's keeping the seven, that he has choice. But the Jew doesn't have choice. He's obligated. Mushpa v'yomed me'har Sinai. He's already sworn from Sinai. He has no choice on that. We're talking about people that seek to implement the philosophy of something like kashrus, which has to do with restraining one's impulses. That man shouldn't live an animalistic life. And he manifests that by refraining from eating certain foods and so on and so forth. I don't think that a person can duplicate that. That's a system which can only come from God. It cannot be duplicated. Two, you talk about, let's say, a Noahide doesn't have to keep it, but he wants to implement the philosophy. To a certain extent, he could. But what would he do? What's he going to refrain from? Which foods would he refrain from? From what? From a cheeseburger? But what if he likes it? Why should he refrain from it? Doesn't make sense. Well, so he'll start eating healthy. Okay? Okay. That's, it's not going to be the same thing, though. The reason, the time for kashrus is not health. Health is a separate obligation. Separate mission. That person should eat in accordance with, nutritional requirements. It's not going to have the same effect. I would say it's pretty much impossible, because first of all, he's not going to have any absolute prohibition. If he really wanted to eat that thing, he could eat it. There's no real absolute prohibition. He knows that. Part of the benefit of the prohibition is that it's a prohibition. See, it's not fasting. If I don't eat today, I'm not fasting. But on Yom Kippur, I'm fasting. What's the difference? See? Sometimes I go a whole day. I don't like to eat all day. I'll eat at night. And Yom Kippur, I'm fasting. But on the other days, I'm not fasting.
And it's much harder on Yom
Kippur. I'm Kippur because then it's prohibited. Then it's prohibited. I can't have it. But on every other day, I can. I can eat. So if I can eat, it's not a big deal. I may get sometimes very famished, and I come, but that's something else. That's because I'm famished. Yom Kippur bothers you not because you're famished. Very few people are hungry on Yom Kippur. You never get around to feeling hungry because you're so preoccupied with the idea that I can't eat. That's why people, by the way, I've discussed this. That's, in my opinion, that's the major reason for all these headaches that people get sick and miserable on Yom Kippur, and they say it's caffeine withdrawal and so on and so forth. This is my own personal opinion on that. As someone who, I drink coffee now, and, I was always a coffee drinker. And I used to have very bad experiences fasting, and now it's completely the opposite. In my opinion, it's not because of the caffeine. I know everybody's going to argue with me. In my opinion, It is fasting anxiety. It's a certain anxiety of being in a state of deprivation, and that itself engenders all of these feelings. And if a person can conquer that, that's the title of an essay I'm working on. It's called Nobody Ever Died from Fasting on Yom Kippur. And if a person would just relax and realize that it's nothing, no big deal, and don't feel sorry for yourself, and don't ask, how are you doing? Are you still alive? You know? Oh, yeah, so how's it going? It's like we're all caught up in this catastrophe. All Jews, you know, they see each other, we're like all struggling, maybe we'll survive. Who's going to survive, you know? And what's the big deal? How many times in your life do you get caught up in something, business, this and that, you can go for hours and hours and not eat? So it's not a reality, it's an anxiety. Once you get past that and you get into experiencing the day, the tefillos, the ideas, and so on and so forth, no problem. You're not gonna have the headache. You can't duplicate the prohibition because it's not a prohibition. So you're just following a regimen, and then that's the end of the. That's the story. That's why it's hard. It's easier for people to keep kashrut, but it's much harder for them to keep it to a diet. If that was the Torah, God made it that way, that you can only eat so many calories a day, and this so then then the Jews wouldn't be an overweight people. But God gave us choice in that area, so choice is not always a great thing. But that's the point. The point is that you really can't observe kashrut unless you're keeping kosher. Not only can't you duplicate and render this as the... What makes this prohibited? Why? Because you arbitrarily said it should be prohibited? This is ridiculous. It's not prohibited. There's only one who can say it's prohibited. That's the Creator. When God made it, it became prohibited. Now it's a prohibited phenomenon. And the perfection is in how I deal with that which is prohibited. There's a certain perfection. And it's not just the avoidance of the prohibited. It also entails the activation of the mind, because God gave it to us in such a way that it involves so much thinking. It's not just arbitrary. It's all these concepts and ideas and what the halacha is. And before you can eat, sometimes you have to look up in the Shulchan Aruch, then what bracha should I make, and so on and so forth. So that elevates the entire experience of the meal, becomes an intellectual experience. It's a different kind of an achilah.